Okay, we're back to Project Independence and You on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. I'm John Ryan. My co-host today is Janet Entine, and we're having an absolutely tremendous conversation with Linda Cooper, who is the Director of Community Program Development at North Shore LIJ, in reference to the importance of advanced directives, what they are, but basically we're also touching on the importance. And Janet, take it away.
Linda, you've done a great job of explaining what an advanced directive is. So my question is, once we find the person and once we have a discussion about what our desires are and what the limits are, what do we do with the papers? You told us where to get the papers.
Okay.
But the papers are filled out. Then what do I do with the papers?
Okay. I mean, I think that you keep as many around in as many places as you can think of. So you keep it. You give it to the proxy, should have it. You should give one to your doctor. And you should let people know that if you're hospitalized, that they should bring that proxy with them. And you can have as many around as you want. As I said, since they don't have to be notarized, you just keep, you know, just have them all over the place.
Okay, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because I had a cousin who a number of years ago unfortunately passed away, but she did have a directive. And her aide called me and said she was failing. And mm-hmm. I went to the house, and the ambulance people told me that she had died, but they were trying to resuscitate her. And I'm going, no, that's not her wish. And they're going, so show me the piece of paper.
Right. Well, this is a really important point, though.
Right.
A healthcare proxy will not prevent you from being resuscitated by the EMS.
Okay.
Okay. So I think it's really important that for people who are at risk for failing at home, mm-hmm. whether they're on hospice or not, you must have an out-of-hospital DNR order signed by a doctor or a MOLST form, which is a big pink form, medical orders for life-sustaining treatment, because otherwise, the EMS is required, and the healthcare proxy can't say, oh, here's my healthcare proxy, because in order to prevent yourself from being resuscitated, a medical order needs to be in place. So I think that's another thing that people really need to know.
That's huge. This is our golden nugget for today.
Yes, I would say so.
I had no idea. No. I thought, that's amazing.
I'm really glad that came up, because it's another thing that, now, most people don't walk around thinking, oh, I don't, you know, I need a DNR, and I'm not planning on having one yet at
this point. Right, of course, I understand.
However, people who have advanced illness and they know that it might be possible that they could become very short of breath and quickly die at home, and their loved one panics, it's really important that they have a DNR order in place. And there are two ways to have a DNR order at home. There's an out-of-hospital DNR, which the physician's offices have, also on the website. You can also get it from the Department of Health, or a MOLST form, which is
M-O-S-T.
M-O-L-S-T, which is a pink form. Unfortunately, our listeners can't see it. I'm holding it up. But it is a the front page of a MOLST form is a DNR order.
And where would one get a MOLST form?
Well, the hospitals have them. Mm-hmm. Doctors' offices frequently don't have them. But I would say for those of you who are in Project Independence, you ask your Project Independence nurse.
Oh, okay.
Because the Project Independence nurses have them, and they know exactly how to have a conversation with people, whether or not the MOLST form or an out-of-hospital DNR would be helpful. And they'll help you. They'll help any Project Independence person get one.
That would be a call to 311. Anybody who's listening that would want one of those, call 311, and they will forward it on to a Project Independence nurse.
Absolutely.
This is not a bracelet situation, right?
No.
Okay. No, because I know they have the bracelet. So if somebody was in that situation,
you know,
that means do not resuscitate.
Because
this, even though it's pink, if the situation occurs in the living room and you have this up in the bedroom and in all the confusion, they're not seeing it.
So we recommend people put it on their refrigerator if they're worried about that, because the EMS will look on the refrigerator.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
This is something that they're trained to do.
Wow, are we learning?
The EMS is very responsive to people's wishes, and they feel badly if somebody says, no, they don't want to be resuscitated, but there's no order, because nobody wants to do that.
That's a generic rule. The refrigerator is the place
I mean, there's nothing in the law. law, but
right, I understand.
Yeah, the EMS will look. They'll look on the refrigerator.
They'll go there.
They'll look on the refrigerator.
Okay.
There's also some products that the Project Independence nurses know about. One is called Vial of Life, where your medications and your orders are in, then you keep that in the refrigerator. But this is again something that the Project Independence nurses know about to help people get what they need and make sure they have it in their house.
Okay.
Terrific. Actually, we're just going to not shift a bit. I know I went to a presentation you made on the five wishes, mm-hmm. which was tremendous, mm-hmm. and it's in, you know, it works within this whole advanced directive, obviously.
Yep.
Could you just go through and explain a little bit about the five wishes?
Five wishes is one of a few products, and I say product because it's copyrighted and distributed by an organization called Aging with Dignity, agingwithdignity.org. And they actually charge $5 for it, and that's the way they support their organization. And it is a contains a healthcare proxy form, because even if you've told everybody what you want, you need them to be able to be authorized to make the decision. And it's a set of questions that you can use to steer a conversation about what's important to you. So the five wishes are, this is the person I wish that this particular person make my decisions. This is the kind of medical treatment I want and I don't want in certain situations. This is how comfortable I want to be. I mean, some people may say to their loved one, you know, I don't want to be in pain, and you can make me totally unconscious if you want to. I don't want any pain at all. And somebody else might say, if someone asks you about my pain medication, I really want to be as alert as I can, and I'll tolerate a certain amount of pain. These are the kinds of things that you can actually be thinking about. The fourth wish is, you know, how I want people to treat me. And, you know, it says to my family member, I want to be in a place where I'm going to be clean and comfortable, and I want music around me, or I want, you know, 88.1 FM playing
in my ear when I'm
out of it, or any other thing that's important. And the last one is what I want my loved ones to know. And that could be some complicated family issues, you know. I have two sons. They don't talk to each other. I want them to know that it's important for me that they make peace before I die. So five wishes is more than just an advance directive. It's really a way to have critical conversations with the people around you about what's important to you. And if you do that, then they know what kind of medical decisions to make for you.
And what's nice about it, when I saw it, I agree, and I think communication within the family is very, very important. What's nice about this five wishes is you almost can do it under the guise of this is what we should talk about versus me bringing it up to my mother or father or my mother bringing up something. It's like, what do you want, Ma? It's like, here we go. No. On page three, it says we should talk about this.
Right. That's helpful.
It's very, very helpful because
really?
This is a situations like this become non-communicative.
Right.
Yeah.
Because people are
nervous. They're desperate situations.
Exactly. That's the word, desperate.
People are panicked. Yeah.
And they don't know really what to do. And that is the most important thing, because at the end of the day, you know, if a person, to keep somebody alive in a place where they don't want to be, they don't have music, they, you know, somebody was telling me a story just the other day where somebody has been coming out of a coma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you read it. It was in the paper the last couple of days, but have recollections of conversations that people were having. You heard it, Zach?
Yeah.
And there was a young man.
On
the news.
That's what it was?
They thought, I don't want to use the word coma. His eyes were open.
Uh-huh.
But they thought that he couldn't hear and couldn't understand. And
it was for a while, too, right?
Oh, my goodness.
12 years.
Yeah,
okay.
12 years. And at this point in his life, he's married, expecting a baby, and has a master's degree. I mean, that he came out of it.
But the point is, which I do believe, you go into a hospital sometimes, you don't turn around and the person's laying there. The environment should be peaceful and not like, oh, look at this. It's like, having a conversation, Janet and I, over somebody.
Right.
It's like, be respectful. You wouldn't do it if the person's alive.
Or what they want. I mean, when I worked in the hospital for many years, the Animal League always brought puppies to comfort people, you know, and they're very cute. And they go, well, I don't happen to be, I'm making a big confession now, Project Independence, but I'm not a dog lover. Mm-hmm. And so I tell people, please, not the puppies. I don't want the puppies. And even if I'm unconscious, please don't bring the puppies. So these are the kinds of things that are our own quirks and our own preferences that make us who we are, that we can actually express through going through the Five Wishes document.
Right. And you know what it is? Most people, when they go through these things, it wasn't as bad as they're anticipating.
Of course, I realize that.
Because it's not a fight. I mean, yeah, there are going to be situations where there's going to be a family member. It's just impossible, and that's fine. I mean, unfortunately, you have to accept that in life. Write that one off. It's not a big, I don't mean it's not a big deal. It is what it is. But on balance, you can have a loving relationship with most of the family and have a very supportive, peaceful end of life if that's what we're doing.
You know, absolutely. And while I think advanced directives, as I say, is for our whole lives and not just at end of life, but if we talk about, I was in the hospital, worked in the hospital for many, many years, and in a lot of capacities, and the overwhelming majority of families are loving and able to come to some decision. I mean, we remember the ones that fought over grandma's bed, but most of the time, families can make these decisions together. And I think that these kinds of conversations are most older people want to have these conversations, and they think their kids think they don't, but people do want to have these conversations.
Today, I believe that. And the other thing you just made very clear, too, it's not just end-of-life advanced directives, because it can hit a 25-year-old new mother, and God forbid, what does the husband think and what's going on?
Right.
You're right, it's very important. Actually, those are the ones that are probably more important, because the shocking situation of getting a call at a 30- or 40-year-old was in a car, any
well, as I
situation.
Said, Quinlan, Cruzan, and Shiva were the ones we think about were all young people.
Right, and those that Karen was like 10 years that lasted on, wasn't it? Lawsuits and everything. That was a long time that poor woman was existing like that.
Yep.
Linda, this has been wonderful. Janet has her homework for this week, and I know that because of our conversation here. Linda Cooper, who is the Director of Community Program Development at North Shore LIJ.
Okay, Home Care Network.
Home Care Network. Thank you very much.
It's a big place.
Okay,
yes,
Home Care Network. Uh-huh. And I thank you so much for coming. Linda's also going to be involved in some of the Project SAFE programs going forward, which we'll hear about later on in the programs. But right now, I want to thank you, Linda.
You're very welcome.
Have a great day,
really,
and we'll be right back. Thanks.
Okay, bye.